If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel. Turn to the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The title of the sermon is, They Worshiped. They Worshiped the King. They Worshiped the King. We'll read quite a bit of Scripture today, but the Christmas story is best told by the Bible, isn't it? The Christmas story is best told by the actual Word of God, the Holy Word of God recorded in Matthew's Gospel, beginning with chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The coming of Jesus into this world influenced men and influenced nations more than anything that had ever happened in this world. And the world has never been the same since. Even the datelines of the world were divided by his coming, so that today we number our years from the day of his birth. It's 2024. It's been 2024 years since the birth of Christ. He's attracted people from both ends of the social and economic spectrum over the years. On the night that he was born, a group of humble servants, humble shepherds came to worship him. And then later, the wise men from the east came to shower gifts upon him. The same thing has been true over the years. The people of lowly birth and humble estate have come to Jesus. And as they come to Jesus, they found true riches. And the men of royal birth and high position, they've come to Christ, and they have found him to be greater and more blessed than all their possessions and all their fame. Men of royal birth, men of humble birth, all men, all women can still come to Christ today. Aren't you glad they do? After Christmas Day, I'm going to change our sign out here on El Dorado Parkway, and it'll simply say, Wise men still come to him. Wise men still come to him. And how wonderfully true that message is. This morning we'll take a moment to look at the guidance, the gifts, the grief, and the Galilean. So we begin with the guidance. The guidance. We've read in our scripture text that when Jesus was born, that wise men. Now, the Bible says when he was born, it says wise men came from the east, seeking the newborn king. Now, who were they? Who were these wise men? Well, I'll tell you, nobody is really quite clear on this subject. We don't even know how many came. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. It's always been three wise men. We know that. The Word of God simply says wise men came. But over the centuries, traditions have been formed that there were three wise men, and that tradition has been embraced. But the Word of God, the Bible, never tells us that there were three. It only says that wise men came from the East. We've assumed that because there were three gifts, that there must have been three men. There could have been 10 wise men. There could have been two wise men bringing three gifts. Some folks speculate that maybe these wise men were really astronomers that came from Persia. Some speculate that they must have known a little bit about biblical prophecy concerning the birth of the Messiah. And it may just be possible that God, in His own mysterious way, revealed this secret to these men, that they then would want to come and worship the Son of God, the Messiah. We sing that song. In fact, we sing it here at our church. We three kings of Orient are. We know that song. We probably heard it played on the radio, and we've seen plays. We've seen plays. Maybe our own children were in a play. Remember, you were in a play when you were a child, and how many wise men did we have in that play? We had three every time, didn't we? There were always three wise men. Even in our nativity scenes, the beautiful nativity scene before us here in front of the church that was given to us by Doug and Betty Wilson. In that nativity scene, and really all nativity scenes, you'll see three wise men. You'll see shepherds. They're all together kneeling and worshiping God. So we see all those things, and we assume, well, there had to be three wise men, but the reality is that's just the imagination or the interpretation of man. There is even a claim that we even know the names of these wise men, that their names were Gaspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar. And they're all buried under a massive temple somewhere in Europe. Again, you can see that as the years go by, truth and fiction can get mixed up pretty quick. All we know is what we have just read in the Bible this morning, that wise men came to do one thing, to worship. They came to worship Jesus. They came to find this that was born, the Messiah, and worship the young child. What brought them to Jesus? Well, we know the Bible tells us it was a star. Maybe it was a brand new star that had never been in the universe before. Maybe it was a new star that was brighter than all the others. The Bible says that they originally saw the star in the east, and later it went before them and stood over the house where the young child was. The Bible tells us that they came to Jerusalem, and they went to see King Herod and ask him this question: where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star. We've seen it in the east. And so we're here to worship him. Well, Herod immediately, he's troubled by this question. He knew nothing about the birth of anybody special. So the Bible tells us that Herod called in all of his senior folks to help him understand this. So chief priests and religious leaders and guys that were supposed to be really smart, wise people in those days. And he asked him, he says, what do you know about somebody that's supposed to be born, the Messiah, and where he'll be born? And those chief priests and Pharisees and religious scholars, they immediately quoted the Bible in Micah 5 and verse 2, foretelling that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. So Herod, he calls the wise men back and he tells them, he says, the new king is born in Bethlehem. And he tells them, he says, now when you go and you find him, come back and tell me where he's at so I can come and worship him with you. He had no plans to worship that baby. He had no plans whatsoever. He only had one thought, and that was to kill that newborn baby that supposedly was going to be the new king of Israel, because he feared that this baby would grow up and unseat his authority in Israel. So the wise men, once again, they saw that bright star, the Bible says. They see that bright star that originally had been in the east. And they followed that star, and it led them, and the Bible says it stood over the house. Now pay attention to me just a minute today. It says it stood over the house, and there they found Jesus. It says that when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him. Can't you just see it? Those men falling on their faces, on their knees, before that young child and worshiping Jesus. Now, at Christmas, we often see pictures of the nativity scenes, just as the pictures, just like you see on the PowerPoint before you. And it's got both the shepherds and it's got the wise men all together. Just as you see there, they're all coming together, just as the nativity scene in front of this church. They're all together. But there are several reasons to believe that the wise men did not come to the stable where Christ was born. In fact, the verses we have already read state that the wise men came to the house, not a stable. Jesus was not born in a house, was he? He's born in a stable. It's a barn. He was laid in a manger. That's a feeding trough. He wasn't born in a house, but the wise men came to the house where Jesus was. And at this time, Jesus is not referenced as a baby. According to the scripture, the scripture is referencing Christ as a young child. You may remember that Herod gave the order to kill all the little boy children 2 years and under. If Jesus had been just a newborn baby, then that order would not have been necessary at all, would it? Think about it. The religious leaders that counseled Herod, those religious leaders, they knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures that foretold and prophesied of the birth of the Messiah, even to where he would be born in Bethlehem, even that he would be born of a virgin. They knew those scriptures. They knew what God had said, but they didn't follow up on even the slightest rumor that the Savior had been born. How sad. In fact, it was strangers from a foreign land that were the ones that came to rejoice at the birth of our Savior. We read in John's Gospel, in John 1, in verse 1, speaking of Christ, it says, "He came to his own, and his own received him not." The religious leaders, they had this knowledge, but it was all up here in their head. They had this knowledge, but their hearts were empty. Their hearts were empty and they never came to Jerusalem to worship the Son of God, the Messiah that was born. There's a lot of folks today, they know the truth. They know the truth that's been revealed by the Word of God. They know the story of Jesus. They know the Christmas story. But they never respond to this knowledge and this truth with their hearts. And they never come to have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of that. But wise men, I'm going to tell you, wise men still come to the Savior, don't they? They do. A very wealthy man lay dying, and his lawyer sat beside his bedside. And the lawyer is assisting this very wealthy man to make out his last will and testament. Well, the little girl that is the daughter of this man that is dying, she's in another room, but she can hear the conversation. And she can hear that her father is going to be leaving the home that he's in and that he's going to pass it to someone else. She doesn't understand that her father is dying. All she hears that her dad is going to leave this house that he's living in, that they're all living in, to somebody else. So she comes into the room where her father is laying on his deathbed. And she asks him, she says, "Daddy, when you leave this house, where are you going to live?" And the man had never thought of this before. The father had never thought about what this little girl's question caused him to consider. And that was, when he died, where would he be? Where would be his home? Because he was facing death without any hope at all of eternal life or the hereafter. And that question stayed in his mind. And it wasn't but just a few hours later that the little girl and her mother were kneeling beside the bedside of the husband and father. and directing him and assisting him as he was praying the sinner's prayer to ask Jesus to come into his heart, to be his Savior, to forgive him of his sins. And just a short few days later, when he passed away, he knew where he was going. He knew heaven would be his home because he had the hope that Christ gives you and me today. Do you have that hope? Is it in you? If they said tomorrow you will be your last day on this earth, do you know what your destiny will be? Oh yes, wise men, they still come to the Savior. We'll look at this next ideal, the gifts. The wise men bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. And the Bible says they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We see that giving is a vital part of worship. Giving was a vital part of these wise men as they came to worship. They came to worship and to give. Every Sunday morning, just as we did this morning, we take up the tithes and the offerings. And it's a beautiful form of worship. As we give the 10% of our increase, our tithe, and we give our offerings over and above that, it's a form of worship that says, God, I know everything I have has come by your hand. I know that every penny that comes into my home and my house is by your favor and by your blessing. I know that everything I possess, you have blessed me, is from you, Father. And so I acknowledge you as my source as I give back. I worship you as I give back of my tithe and my offering. I'll tell you, no man truly worships God who refuses to give him that which is due him. Gold, by the way, was part of what was worshiped, the young child. Gold is a symbol of worldly possessions and worldly wealth, and yet gold was a fit tribute for a king. And Jesus was indeed a king, was he not? You give somebody something because you love them, and you can't love without giving. Isn't that true? I mean, you can't love without giving. In the mid-1800s, there was a famous opera singer named Jenny Lind. Jenny Lind was famous all over the world. In fact, she was known as the Swedish Nightingale. While she was in America, in New York City, she had accumulated a lot of wealth. And she gave away all at once, at one time, $40,000 to charity in New York. This is in the mid-1850s. $40,000 was an incredibly large sum of money then. And someone came to Jenny Lind. They said to her, you know, these unworthy people out there are getting your money, and they're going to take advantage of your generosity. Listen to how she responded. She said, if I help 10 and only one is worthy, then I'm satisfied. Because it was in her heart to give. It was in her heart to help and to love and to show that love by giving. The next gift that was given was frankincense. Frankincense is a fragrant perfume. It has a wonderful fragrance about it. It represents man's inner thoughts and emotions. We read earlier that the wise men fell on their faces and they worshiped Christ. Worship. Think about this. Sincere and true worship is like a sweet smelling aroma, similar to the incense that was burned in the temple in the Old Testament as part of the worship of God in heaven. In presenting incense, the wise men were acknowledging the deity of Jesus. Oh, his deity. And then the third gift and final gift was myrrh. Now, myrrh is a bitter spice, and it was used primarily for embalming in Christ's day. So presenting this myrrh was presenting a picture, if you would, of suffering. The wise men, perhaps they understood or had been taught that Jesus would die for sinners, that he would suffer on the cross. So by bringing this myrrh, it represented, they knew that the Savior would suffer And it was their worship of him, not just as king, not just as deity, but as our Savior. Is he your Savior today? Oh, as you trusted in Christ, do you know him as your Savior? If he is, let me ask you the follow-up question. What have you brought to him? What have you brought to Jesus in your worship? If you're wise, you'll bring yourself. You'll bring all that you are. You'll bring your service, your substance. You'll bring your life. You'll bring your very best to Jesus. Next, we look at the grief. After the wise men had ended their visit with Jesus, God warned them not to return back and visit with Herod. So it says they went back to their home, but they went a different route. They went another way. God knew Herod's heart. He knew what Herod was planning. He knew that Jesus' life, the baby's life, would be in danger. So God sends an angel. Angels were a big part of the events of the Christmas story. God sends another angel down to Joseph to warn him and to tell him that he needs to take his wife Mary and Jesus and to flee into Egypt. Well, the Bible says that Herod was waiting for the wise men to come back and tell him where Jesus was, and they never came back. And his anger knew no bounds. Because as you know, in the Bible it says that Herod gave an order to kill every baby boy 2 years and under in Bethlehem and the districts surrounding Bethlehem. Can you imagine the horror of that slaughter? Can you imagine a young married couple with their first child, and it's a little baby boy, and they love it and they play with it, and suddenly they hear a knock at the door, and two burly soldiers burst through that door, and they rip that baby out of that mother's arms, and they immediately kill that baby boy. I can't imagine the grief and the tears and the anguish that would fill those parents' minds and hearts. One day, Jesus would die for all the world. But now these little baby boys are dying for Jesus, aren't they? Because of him. The Bible tells us that Jesus would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You think about the story of Jesus. Trouble awaited him as soon as he entered this world, didn't it? And that trouble would dog him until his very last days, until the torture and crucifixion of Christ on that cross. But he bore those sins and he bore that cross for you and for me. He came to this world. He was born for the cross. He was born to give his life and to die on that cross. So great is his love for you this morning. And finally, the point we look at is the Galilean. I like that sound, the Galilean. Anybody remember a singing group back in the 70s called the Galileans? Some of you remember them? We had them come to our church. I was at First Assembly of God in Mesquite, Texas in those days. It was before Sherry and I were married. And my pastor would have different gospel groups come and sing on Sunday afternoons. And I can remember the Galileans coming. They had a big fancy bus and we were all excited. It was a great day. The Galileans blessed us with some wonderful singing. Well, when King Herod had finally died, the Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, again, another angel, and told Joseph that he can now take Mary and his son Jesus back to Israel, that those that had sought to kill Jesus, they were now dead. Herod was dead. And so the Bible says as Joseph went back to Israel that he was warned by God in a dream to go to the region of Galilee. So Joseph took his family there and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was prophesied in the word of God, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, Nazareth was a tiny little village. In fact, gospel historians guess that at that time there might have been between 500 to 1,000 people living in this little village of Nazareth. God didn't take his son to a big city, a big place of fame, or a place where a lot of important folks were. God had his son grow up in a little village called Nazareth. It was symbolic, I believe, of the humility of Jesus. God passed by all those big fancy places, so to speak. And Christ grew up and spent the first 30 years of his life in this little village known as Nazareth. And you know, we know very little about those years. We know Christ came to the temple when he was 12 years old and he gets lost and his parents look for him and they come and bring him back home. But after that, all those years, it's just silence. We don't know anything. Well, all we know is that we are told that Jesus grew in favor with God and in favor with man and was subject to Mary and Joseph, his mother and father. I love the story because it reminds you and me today that Jesus did not seek the great things of the earth. He didn't seek great titles. He wasn't out seeking great attention or fame. He was the humblest man that has ever lived on this earth. The humblest man. And we would do well, we would do so well to follow his example of humility. There's a lot of folks that are leaders that could learn his example of humility. So yes, yes, the wise men came, they found him, and they gave him the best. They gave him the best they had because it was part of their worship. They came and worshiped the King of Kings. Are you worshiping him in your life? Are you giving him your best? This Christmas, are you just going through the motions, but do you pause and does the Holy Spirit ignite a spark in your heart and you pause and you say, oh, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, my Savior. I give myself to you. I give all that I have to you. It's my worship and my love and my thanks for what Jesus, you have done for me. When you left the wonder and glory of heaven to come to this earth in the form of the man in the flesh and to be born in a barn, in a trough, and to live a life of humility. Oh, the wise men found him and they worshiped him. The example for you and me today, are you worshiping the King? Oh, worship him. Praise him. Give him honor today. He is so worthy of our worship. The wise men found him, didn't they? They followed that star. Have you found Jesus today? Have you found him as your Savior? Are you giving Jesus your best today? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful Christmas story and all the wonderful words of wisdom and instruction and guidance and understanding it brings to us. God, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, by these words, your words, that you challenge us to recognize the importance of worship, of worshiping Christ, of giving him our best, of giving him ourselves, to hold nothing back, to live our lives full of a passion of appreciation and love for what Christ has done for us, to give worship and praise from our hearts, true worship, to tell God and his son Jesus how thankful we are for the gift of eternal life, the gift of hope and love, the gift of an assurance, that gift of the light of the world in us. May we be bold witnesses and share that light and show that light in a world that's full of darkness that is in such need of knowing Christ as their Savior. Let that spark be within us, light that fire within us. We thank you, Lord, for this season again of Christmas. We thank you, Lord, for what it means to all of us. In mighty name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. Amen. Amen.